Forbidden Panel welcomes you to Panelcast, Forbidden Panel's weekly podcast featuring movie and comic news and reviews. And now, your hosts, AJ and Brian.
Hey everybody, welcome to Panelcast. This is a very special 50th episode of Panelcast. And to celebrate it, we're kind of doing a little something special ourselves. First off, let's do the introductions. I'm AJ.
Justin.
And Brian, of course.
Justin, our artist for ZKS, is actually here, and we're doing something really special, the fact that we are here live at Four Color Fantasies in Rancho Cucamonga for the release party of our comic book ZKS. So while we're doing all this stuff, we're going to be also recording the panel cast, so you'll hear a lot of loud background noises, but, you know, you're used to that with us and the live stuff, so... Yeah, this week we're going to be talking about not just the release party, but all the comic books that we read and some of the news that we've seen out there. So with that, we'll go ahead and take our first break, and we'll be right back.
Hi, this is Justin White with Necrosapien Press. Why don't you come down and check out the website at necrosapien.net. You can see all my latest artwork and projects, and we'll have a store up soon where you can buy prints of my art.
We're back. This is Justin here, and we're going to talk about some of the comics we've been reading. Brian, why don't you go ahead and get us started?
I actually got around to reading something, and I picked up the first two trades for Invincible, which was on recommendation of AJ, and I have to say that I actually really enjoyed it. It's kind of funny. It's the comic deals with a kid who his father is a superhero, kind of like a Superman-type character, and he ends up developing superpowers, and so it's kind of deals with him sort of learning how to use his powers and also still having to deal with being in high school and dealing with teenage life, and it's pretty interesting. I liked it a lot. I wasn't really too much of a fan of the artwork in it. I don't know, there's something about the artwork that just didn't really strike me that much. I'm sure AJ's probably going to disagree with me on that point, but
Justin and I both will.
Yeah, I like the art. I mean, it wasn't bad. It just, I don't know. It didn't do anything for me one way or the other. But the story, and it was written really well, and it's a really enjoyable book.
Yeah, I've read. I don't know how far into it. I'm a few trades into it, but yeah, I really enjoyed Invincible. It's a really good book. But, you know, anything Robert Kirkman writes is
right.
So I haven't seen him write anything bad yet.
Yeah, at this point, I think we're all addicted to Kirkman, and I hate him very badly. He'll be at WonderCon, so we can go and jump his ass.
So I can tell how much I hate him for
writing
for
Kirkman.
Exactly. Yeah.
Maybe take him out back, beat him up. He's 6'4", so I don't know if that's going to work. But, you know. But you enjoyed the story overall, right?
Oh, yeah, definitely. It's a great story, and I love how he kind of... sort of like, I guess, kind of spoofs. It seems like most of it is like spoofing like kind of DC characters, like this Superman and Wonder Woman knockoffs. And I like how the book kind of pokes fun at superheroes, but it still embraces that whole superhero genre. Like, it's not one of those books where they really just kind of, like, you know, rip the whole superhero thing to pieces and try to, like, point out all its flaws. It, like, it admits that it's cheesy and it banks on it and really just sort of, like, that makes the story enjoyable because it's a superhero story and it doesn't make any pretensions about it.
Yeah, I've actually heard Kirkman say that he loves superhero stories, everything about him, even the bad stuff. So I think he, like, celebrates everything about him, the good, the bad, and I think he puts that all into his book, and you can tell.
Right. No. It's one of those, like, which is sad, because I've been trying to stray away from the superhero genre for a while, you know, getting into all these other ones, like Fell and stuff like that we've talked about, and but this one pulled me right back in an instant. I mean, in fact, I think after I read the first couple of trades, I called Justin to tell him that we're going to start doing a superhero comic.
Yeah.
Because of it, and so it's all Kirkman's fault at this point. But I'm interested, why didn't you like the art? What about the art you didn't like?
It's not that I didn't like the art. It just, I don't know. The character designs were good. They were recognizable. And, I mean, the guy that's drawing the comic, I mean, he has talent. It's just something.
Fine, right?
Yeah.
It's just, I don't know, something about it. It just
wasn't your taste.
Yeah, it just, I don't know. I guess it's kind of
kind of reminded me too much of like Saturday morning cartoon kind of thing.
Oh, too vibrant. The colors are very vibrant.
Yeah, it's like a lot of bright colors and just like, I don't know. It's something about it, it just wasn't my favorite art style. But it, I mean, it's not that I hated it. It just didn't really do anything for me one way or the other. Like if they change artists or something on the comic, it wouldn't make a difference to me.
You like that, right?
Yeah, I do. I can kind of see where it's coming from because I wasn't. I grew into it. It's like at first I was like, oh my god, look at this. But like after a while, I got into it and really engrossed myself with the art because you like grew into it.
Right.
So I think that's where I'm coming from too.
For me, I think the art just goes with the story because it's supposed to be an over the top, campy superhero story.
Right.
You know, and so the art kind of brings that out. It's very bright colors, very simple lines going on in there. You know, like you said, easily identifiable characters. There's no shading in between. So, like, I think that goes along with the storyline itself, you know. It's like, hey, here's this really cheesy comic book, colors and everything. Plus, I think for me, I was just saying with this other book, Wolfman, Astounding Wolfman, where it's so simplistic that I'm able to enjoy the story more.
Right.
You know, I'm able to not be distracted by this over-the-top artwork and just enjoy the story. So, that's what works for me, you know.
Yeah. And it might be that way, too, because it is like a writer-driven book.
Right.
You know, it's like the same thing with Wolfman and all that stuff. It is about writing.
How are you doing?
Pretty good. Keep going. Is that the only color book?
Yeah, we have the zero issue, and then the next issue will be coming out at the end of the summer.
Okay.
So, and then we have a 24-hour comic version that we did, which we'll have coming up for Free Comic Book Day. So, would you like to pick up a copy? It's only $2. We'll all sign it and you can go.
Yeah, actually, that's what I'm here for.
Okay, cool.
I found one the other day, but I'm not.
Oh, I don't know.
Thank you.
Do you just do cash or do you have...
You just paid Chris.
Oh, okay, that's cool.
So Chris needs up there. Don't mind us, guys. We just have someone want to buy the comic book, so we're going to go. So, here's Brian. He gets to talk for a little while. Talk about that other comic you read. We're recording a show at the same time. We're actually an independent publishing company.
Yeah,
out of Redlands, California. So we're going to do not only DKS, we're going to do another one called Cellblock Infinity, as well as a few other titles that we've been working on. So it's all working.
We got quite a bit of things in the works right now. It's just we're finally starting to get the momentum to actually start getting them done.
And found a stable artist, so that works.
I read that first.
You liked it?
Yeah.
Awesome, huh?
Great. Zombie fan,
awesome.
Yeah, we're all zombie fans.
It comes with the email address. If you want to send us comments or anything or what you liked about it, then we'll include it in the back of the next issue. We'll have a letters page at the back. So you see it, and we'll be able to answer and respond to it as well. So, yeah, we appreciate that. I like it. Like I said, we have posters, we have everything. If you come back around 7, we're doing a raffle where for $5. If you're chosen, you can win copies of posters.
One of everything.
One of everything. And this original artwork from the comic book.
Okay.
So, all right. There you go.
All right, thanks a lot. I appreciate it.
Yeah, awesome.
Thank you. All right, see, the other comic that I read was just like a little one-shot. It was a continuation of the Chronicles of Wormwood. It's called The Last Enemy, I think is what it was called, The Last Enemy. And, I kind of have like a sort of a love-hate thing with Garth Ennis. Some of his stuff, I think it's too much for me. And other times, like at The Boys, I kind of it started getting away from me. But the Chronicles of Wormwood, I definitely like. It's one of those things where it's like it strikes a chord with me, mostly because of just like how completely and utterly blasphemous it is. It's
anti-religion as you are.
Yeah. But it's done in a way that it's just. I mean, he obviously kind of like understands, you know. I guess like the. I don't really know, like, what I'm trying to say here. It's like he kind of understands, like, some of the problems that people have with religion, and like intentionally, like, turns that on its head to like present like this guy. The main character is the Antichrist, but he's a nice guy.
Right.
Like he still has like this streak, and he still does these fucked up things. But I mean, he's actually a nice guy, and he doesn't want to be a bad person. Like, he's actually trying to be a good person. It's just, he kind of can't help himself sometimes. But the story in this one, it kind of just, like, is a follow-up to what happens previously. So it's nothing, like, the story isn't as huge as it is in the actual comic itself. It just more is just kind of like tying up some of the loose ends at the end of the other one. And,
I liked it.
It's one of those comics that just, like, had me laughing the whole time I was reading, and it's, like, it's so fucked up, you're, like, cringing, but still laughing.
Right.
And, yeah, there's still some pretty disturbing things in there where I'm just like, Garth, what are you doing? But, like, the eunuch that he fights in there. Like,
I haven't read it yet, so that's
okay.
First time you've read a comic that I have.
Yeah. Well, let's just say that you get a nice shot of it. It's a... But that's pretty much all I've read so far. Got another one that I'm going to start reading for the comic book club, but I haven't started on that one yet. So if anybody else has any comics that they've been reading, I'll go ahead and hand it over.
Well, I haven't read much. I haven't had much time to, but I did recently read Old Man Logan and...
Millar, right?
Yeah. And Steve McNiven did the art, which I'll look at anything that Steve McNiven does because it was even better than Civil War. His art was. It was, like, phenomenal. But it's basically post-apocalyptic. The villains have won. Heroes are all gone, dead, or in hiding or whatever. And Wolverine takes a job from a now-blind Hawkeye to help him go across the United States to deliver a package. And
the Spidey Jeep.
Yeah, and the Spidey Jeep from the 80s, which is pretty cool. But it was pretty cool. Wolverine has taken an oath to never pop his claws again, and he's completely nonviolent, and they get into why later on, and when they do, it's just crazy.
That was, like, one of the most fucked up.
Oh my god, that was nuts. I, like, reread that section like 3 times.
Right? Yeah.
It's like, did that really happen? Yeah, that was it.
But pick it up.
Yeah, it was
heard
good.
A lot of things about Old Man Logan.
Yeah, I believe the trade is here.
Yeah.
They believe they have the trade out, and if they do,
in my wallet.
Yeah.
Exactly. Can we sell enough comics?
I know. That's for guys just trying to sell our comics so we can buy some others.
That's the sign of a true geek. Right?
But my only complaint about it is, it's not even really a complaint, is it was too short.
Right.
I think it was a 7-issue series. It could have been 12 easily.
Yeah, they milked it. They milked it really good.
Yeah.
Because the time between each issue was a good couple of months in between.
Yeah. I read it as a trade, it just went by way too quick.
Yeah, I could see that.
But there's so much stuff out there that they could touch on. And
it was so unforgiving, though. It was so unforgiving.
Yeah.
Like, I wanted him to do that, like, right away, and he's like, you better bury my friend.
But, awesome. But yeah, it was really good. I really enjoyed it, and it was cool because I've been so busy. I haven't sat down and read a lot of comics in a long time, and so it was a good one to get back into it. I really enjoyed it.
It's good to hear that your comic book artist is busy drawing your shit.
Yep.
I can forgive you for your lack of comic book reading.
Yeah, and about to get busy all over again.
Exactly.
So that'll be cool.
But it's a good busy.
No, yeah, I'm very excited. Very excited to start the full-size issue.
Yeah.
But we're getting sidetracked. But yeah,
we'll bring that up in the next segment.
Yeah. But that's all I've read. I've got a Thor trade I bought when we were down here last time. I don't even know what it's called, but I haven't read it yet. So that's next on my list.
Is it the Straczynski one?
No, it's... I don't even know what it is. There's Thor, and it's all in Asgard, and he's fighting a bunch of undead.
Oh, yeah, I know. The Final Days of Asgard.
Yeah,
that one's awesome.
Okay, yeah, it looked really cool, so I picked it up. I hadn't heard anything about it. I was just thumbing through it, and I was like, wow, it looks really cool. So I picked it up, and so I'm going to check that out. But yeah, that's it for me as far as for reading lately.
I haven't read anything. I've been busy doing all the promo work and setting up all the convention schedule and everything, so I haven't had a chance to sit down and read anything. anything really. I finished up Chew. I read the last few issues of Chew and the new two issues that have just come out, and that series is just awesome. If you haven't read Chew, you should be reading Chew.
I remember you telling me about it like before it came out. You were telling me you had read the press release on it or something.
It's awesome.
It's really cool.
Ryan and I actually sat down and talked to the creators of Chew at San Diego Comic Con. They're really cool. I love the art style and everything. Have you had a chance to read it yet, Ryan?
I have not picked it up yet, but it's one of the ones that I'm intending to read. I come in here and then I forget what it is I want to buy, and then I see something else and then I buy that. Or
you're all sidetracked, like, ooh, pretty.
So many choices.
Yeah, we still got to hunt you down, that Umbrella Academy Volume 2, so you can read that. You've only read Volume 1, right?
Right. Yeah, just Volume 1, but I like it, so I want to get the rest.
Well, you've read Volume 2, right?
Yeah.
But Justin and I can tell you right now, it's an awesome read.
I liked it even more than the first one, just because it expanded on the characters so much. You got to learn more about everybody and, like, the past. And
really, why I like that book is because of the way that the characters are developed.
Right. You'll really like the second one then, because they develop them the same way, but you get to learn more, and so it's
More personal.
Yeah,
in this one.
Right.
Like before, where they just kind of focused on the family, this one like tackles each individual member of the family, and it's pretty good. So yeah, that's pretty much all I've done, all I've read, finishing up on Chew, and that's about it. So hopefully for the next podcast I'll be able to read. We're doing the comic book club, which is going really great as far as I'm concerned. Everyone seems to be very receptive with what the books we've chosen. Did you not also read Fall of Demons?
I haven't started that one yet, no.
Okay. Is it Fall of Demons or Demon Hunter?
Something with demons.
Yeah, I can't remember what it was called, but it's an awesome book. I think you'll like it too. So, that's about it.
Okay, well, that's it for this segment, and we'll be back in just a moment.
Hey, this is John from the Hightower Comics. I count everybody to go check us out at www.hightowercomics.com, where you will get the height of independent comics.
And we're back. The comic book shop is getting kind of crazy. The release party's going in full swing. I'm kind of amped at that last guy that bought a book. This was actually a second copy of the book he bought. That's pretty freaking sweet.
He left his first one at home but wanted a signed copy, so he went and bought another one.
I know, that's kind of slick.
Pretty cool.
Oh, that little ego boost off that. I'm chubby, you know.
I'm a little tight in pants.
Well, your pants are kind of tight anyway, but I wanted to bring up the fact that we're going to go ahead and use this time to lead into the next segment, which will be Brandy talking to T.C. Carter, the voice of Kratos. The Rose Bowl Comic Con was this past weekend, and we had a great time, and he managed to show up with another company that he's working with the comic book called 13. So at that point, I'm going to go ahead and toss it over to the interview that we recorded while at that convention with T.C. Carter, the voice of Kratos.
Hey everybody, this is Brandy with Forbidden Panel, and I'm sitting here with Danny Dixon, the writer of a new comic book called 13. Hey Danny, how's it going?
Good, how are you?
I'm peachy. So tell me about 13.
Okay, it's a comic book about a world where every kid gets a superpower for 1 year at the age of 13. And for that 1 year, you can do whatever you want. No one will stop you. But then when you turn 14, you lose your power and you get a score, and the score follows you for the rest of your life.
That sounds threatening and rather interesting as well. And like I was telling you before, it reminds me of your credit score, your FICO score, so you're judged on things that you did a long time ago. So when these kids grow up, how does it affect them after that?
It can affect them in a number of ways. I mean, you can have a great score. It's a percentile, right? So it literally goes from 0 to, 100. And, if you're in the low, 30s or 40s, it's going to make it hard to get into college, to get a job, to get a loan. If you're in a really high score, you could get a car loan at 14 with 0% interest. I mean, it's that crazy.
Yeah, that's deep.
Well, I do. That's a great idea. And as far as I know, going through the Rose Bowl today, the comic show, that you're one of the few women in comics that I've actually seen. So what actually drew you to writing graphic novels?
It's just about telling a story and being able to tell a complete story. I mean, I also do stuff on the film side as well, but it's an opportunity to tell a long story in a way that's sort of not available in any other medium. And, you know, I love the art, and I've, you know, been a huge sci-fi comics fan for a long time, so I just decided to do my own.
Awesome. So as an African-American woman in graphic novels, because, you know, we are a rarity.
Yeah.
So how has that affected your writing and your publishing and going through?
I don't know. I mean, I think I have a different worldview just because I'm a unique individual. The books themselves are definitely a lot more diverse than, 90% of what's out there. But, I mean, but they're not all black either. There's black and there's Asian and there's Amerasian and there's Latino and there's even Middle Eastern. I mean, it just looks like what the real world looks like to me. Yeah.
Well, no, that's great because it's rare in any books that you pick up lately. It's usually, you know, the token black guy, the token black girl. So it's nice that you have a balance of all cultures going in. And plus, the story sounds awesome.
Thank you.
Yeah. So who's doing your art?
We've got a couple of artists. The first issue is done by a guy named Joni Odulio, and our inker was Sasha Borsich. And we have a colorist called Camilla Cox, who's actually been with the series since the Ash Can. The next couple of books coming up, we have Robert Roach, who's been doing this for about a good 15 years. He's a great artist. And a newcomer, Michael Monday. So he's doing 4 and 5. Robert Roach did 3. And, you know, then we're also working on, you know, a bunch of new issues.
Awesome. Yeah. Cool. So, and you're publishing these yourself, or do you have a publisher?
Tumble Creek Press. I started a company, Tumble Creek Press, and under that banner is 13, a new series we're doing called Escape, some more graphic novels. And then we distribute it nationally by Haven, who's based out of Illinois.
Okay, cool. So you do have new series coming out as well.
Yes. We have we're sort of a manga hybrid called Escape Out of Space. And so the style is sort of a combination of American with sort of a manga sensibility, and it'll be manga size, you know, with the, you know.
Oh, that sounds awesome. Well, congratulations on all of your success.
Thank you.
And you're also talking about you have films. You're doing films and directing and writing as well, correct?
Yeah, I did a short a little bit ago, called In Conflict with Kismet, and it actually it aired on BET in October. It was part of the Lens on Talent show, and last month I was one of 6 finalists, so we're waiting to see who wins.
Awesome, and of course you will.
That would be awesome, yeah, because the winner gets $100,000 to make their next short, which...
Remember your good friend Brandy that you met at Comic-Con. I'm a wonderful assistant.
Okay, good to know.
Type 70 words a minute.
Good to know. I'm definitely going to need a lot of help to do this. Should I win, the idea will most likely be sci-fi based, so it'll be
awesome.
You know, effects and all that cool stuff.
That's awesome. Yeah, we definitely need more women behind the camera working. You know, we get all of them in front, and the most recognition we get out of it is literally, who's the hottest chick in sci-fi?
Yeah.
So it's good, really good to meet you and really good to know that there are women working the genre and making it happen, and that it's not the typical thing. You know, I'm looking for your stuff. I see no fairies. I see no unicorns. So.
No. It's actually a pretty harsh world. It's, you know, it's, bad things happen, but the thing I am proud of is that there are consequences for all actions. So, you know, people die from the first issue on, but, you know, there are also
That's awesome.
Yeah, no, but I think the thing is, you know, even the good guys in a lot of comic books, they cause all sorts of destruction, and it never comes back to them, you know. And with this, good or bad, the world knows everything you do, and you have to sort of, you have to deal with that.
Yeah, you have to deal with the consequences of your actions.
Yeah.
And that's awesome. And it does speak from a very deep level when you're dealing with, you know, teenagers in this aspect.
Yeah.
So they're moving and growing. So I'm excited about your series. Absolutely.
Great.
So when can we expect issue 4?
We're actually rebooting the series. Starting like in April, we'll be re-releasing them in succession. So you should get 4 around then, and then, you know, we're going to just keep going from there.
Okay.
And also the first trade will be out.
Oh.
So that'd be cool.
Congratulations.
Yeah.
You're just on it. I am so excited for you.
You're
welcome. So in the meantime, where can everybody purchase your comic?
For the time time being, we're almost out of stock for the first, second, you know, some of those books are, have a two or three printings, but you can get them online at tumblecreekpress.com, and then they're going to pretty much be out of print for a couple months, and then starting in April, you'll be able to get them all over.
Okay, guys, so you heard it. It's almost out of print, and it's they're running out, so you got to hurry up over to tumblecreekpress.com and get your copies, and that's also where our listeners can contact you.
Sure. You know, we're on Facebook. Tumble Creek Press has a fan page, so definitely go there. You know, we're on Twitter. That's usually how we update people at when we're at shows on, you know, what we're giving away, who's signing, that kind of stuff. Yeah.
Great. So how did you go about choosing your characters?
Well, the characters, you know, I came up with, but the actual kids, I decided that I wanted them to look... I decided I wanted them to look the same from book to book, and I wanted them to be consistent and specific. So I actually held auditions in Los Angeles for the 8 main kids.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
You were serious about it.
I was very serious. Well, I mean, I'd done some film stuff on, and, you know, and casting stuff, and so it's like, I really want the kids to look really specific. So, why don't I just cast it? No one said that I can. I mean, no one really done that before, but I decided, well, I'm going to do it. And I did, and I found some great, great kids.
So, you know, that's an awesome idea, because a lot of writers are just, they write down the description in their script and really kind of depend on the artist to get the final look for it. So it is very different for a writer to actually hold auditions for the casting for it. So that's, that was an awesome idea this year, Claire.
Thanks. Yeah, it worked out well.
Yeah, from looking at the artwork and looking at the lovely young man sitting next to me, it seems to have worked out well. And who are you, sir?
Ronnie Cannell.
And whose character are you in the book 13?
I am Matthew.
You're Matthew. So what was the process like of you becoming Matthew?
Matthew, I really had to think about the character, you know, do some research. She told me about Danny, told me about the character, and I just had to think about it. And then we went to the park to do the photo shoot, and I just really got into my zen mode, and she just took some shots of me in different poses.
Awesome. So for the audition process for you, though, how was that? Was it just a basic cattle call, or was there the headshot thing floating through in the beginning?
Well, I got the audition call, and then I walked in the building, and I saw Danny sitting down. She asked me to do a bunch of poses, et cetera, et cetera. And then I got the call back, and it was just an exhilarating experience.
Awesome. So what is your background as far as acting, modeling, and all that goes?
Background as in?
As in acting, modeling.
Oh, acting, modeling. I started acting when I was 5 years old.
How old are you, by the way?
I'm 15 right now.
Oh, God, let me back away from you.
They're all real kids. Yeah. They're all around 12 or 13 when they got hired.
Yeah.
So you started acting when you were 5.
Yeah, when I was 5 years old. So that was in Washington, D.C.
Oh, okay.
I went to Bethesda Academy for Arts in Maryland. Mm-hmm. And then how I started to act was I would imitate people on TV, Jackie Chan, blah, blah, blah. And people said, my parents said, well, do you want to do acting? I said, yeah, man, sure, yeah. So I started doing that, and then we got a little bit more serious about it. And then I came here when I was about 11 years old, and it just started off from there.
Awesome. So, yeah. And the artwork is absolutely amazing, where we can show you right next to Matthew and absolutely see the resemblance with the two of you there. So how are you liking the comic circuit now?
Oh, it's great. I mean,
are you into comics? Have you been to cons?
Oh, yeah, I've been to comics since I was 7 years old.
Yeah.
My dad has a bunch of Tales from the Crypt comics.
Oh,
and
my God.
Yeah, and I would just read those, and I just got into comics from when I was 7.
Okay, so what are some of your favorites?
Favorites? Oh, God, that's hard.
Yeah.
I don't know.
Okay, what's the most recent thing you read? How about that?
Recent thing that I've read was probably Spider-Man.
Yeah, totally should have had AJ over here. You guys could have geeked out together.
Yeah.
I am currently still trying to read Preacher. They have me on all, I'm in the middle of it, and then I got disturbed, had to put it down, walk away, and I'll eventually come back to it. What about you, Miss Danny? What are you reading these days?
I read a lot of indie stuff. I mean, every show I do, I try and pick up at least, you know, two or three indie things. You know, right now I just picked up the Savage miniseries. My neighbor has it. I tend to do that all the time. You know, we because, you know, the big boys, that's always going to flow through anyway. But, you know, some of these other things, sometimes you'll never get them again. So I like to find the untapped resources and support, you know, other independents as well.
Awesome. And as spokesperson for all the other independents, we say thank you.
We
appreciate it. Okay, you two, thank you so much for the marvelous interview.
Sure.
Okay, one more time, and how your name, age, and how our listeners can get in touch with you.
My name is Ronnie Cannell. I'm 15 years old, and
his parents and his agent.
Exactly. Thank you, Ms.
They're his parents and agent. And then, you know, soon there'll be, you know, podcasts and interviews with the kids and all the characters regularly on our Tumble Creek Press Facebook page. So that'll start soon, and also you'll start to see trailers with the actual teens doing the voice work for their characters. So we started recording those. So they're very cool. So you get to see the artwork, and then you hear the kids who've been, you know, the face and bodies and, you know, souls of these characters. So.
Oh, that's great, great. So we can check you out on your website and on Facebook. Awesome. Thank you guys so much.
Sure.
See you guys later. Oh, yeah, that whole, are you enjoying your day here after Rose Bowl Comic Show?
Absolutely.
Yes, of course.
Good advertising, folks. Thanks a bunch. Bye. Hey, everybody. This is Brandy with Forbidden Panel. I'm here at the Rose Gold Comic Show on Valentine's Day. And we're back with Miss Dixon talking about her short film, Kismet. Oh, excuse me. The title is In Conflict with Kismet. And it is written and directed by Ms. Danny Dixon. So, Ms. Dixon, why don't you tell us a little bit what your film is about?
It centers around one afternoon where a man confronts this woman who changed the course of his life. And through a series of flashbacks and what's going on in the present, you sort of see what the relationship is about.
Okay. So was this something that started as a short film, or was it written in a longer script and then...
No, it's absolutely made to be a short. I wanted to do a short, to write and direct a short, so I wanted a moment. I just wanted to talk about one moment in a few characters' lives, so...
Okay, awesome. And who does it star?
It stars T.C. Carson, Celestine, and Dion Lucas.
Oh, lovely. And how long does it run?
It's a 13-minute short.
Awesome. And you're also telling us that it's been showing on BET, correct?
Yes. It was part of the Lens on Talent, a Johnson & Johnson present, a filmmaker's challenge show that they are, it's a year-long contest to find the next great filmmaker. And so it aired in October on BET, and then they ran it again on Centric. And now it's available online at BET.com.
Okay, well, that's great. So for our listeners who are aspiring screenwriters out there, can you give them any random tidbits of advice to from actually going to thinking about an idea to scripting it to shooting it? How was that process for you?
You know, so much of it was just deciding to do it and that you were going to get it done no matter what. And then I also found that once I got started, there were a number of people who came aboard who said, I want to help with this. And that's where, you know, the executive producers came. That's where the executive producers came in. You know, they wanted to make sure this idea made it to fruition. So,
oh, that's awesome. So how long did it actually take from the concept of going, okay, we are actually going to be filming this, to actually getting it filmed, to actually getting it ready on DVD and ready online?
Well, the process, I mean, we shot it, and then there was a 3.5-day shoot. Pre-production was a couple of months. And then we sort of had to put it away for a bit because I was actually training for marathon, and I didn't have time to sit in the editing suite with the editor, and he had other projects as well. And then we did the festival market, and I think that, you know, the festival run is where you know, BET found out about it. And then then it aired in October, and then I think a few weeks later it was available online.
Awesome. So it sounds like it, even with the little breaks in between, you know, that timing sounds like it was pretty steady and running through for you.
Yes.
Okay, good. Yay. And also here today we have with us Mr. T.C. Carson, who is one of the stars of In Conflict with Kismet. Hello, how are you today?
I'm well. How about yourself?
Peach Keen, that's me. So tell me,
me, how did you get involved with this project?
Danny called me. She found me.
Okay.
We have a mutual friend, and she called me, and I read it, and I thought it was great, so we did it.
Oh, okay, well then fine, that was simple enough.
It really is that easy.
But then you start hanging out with jobs. If people start calling and just handing you jobs, that'll do.
You know.
Okay, and our listeners of Forbidden Panel are obviously familiar with you from Living Single, and what was it, U571, and a bunch of other things. I think your IMDb list is about 2 pages long. But mainly in our happy little comic book geek world, everybody's familiar with you from God of War. So, say something special that about Kratos for us, for all us drooling over there.
Something special about Kratos.
Okay, that's enough. Just keep repeating that.
Kratos is the man.
Totally.
Kratos is the man. I've had a really good time doing his voice. I've worked out a lot of my things through these games. You know, you go in and really like let loose and get rid of a lot of stuff through these characters. So I really enjoy him because of that. And fun is not the word I'm looking for as far as gameplay. It's an intense game.
Yeah.
It's a really intense game. I got a chance to play the other day.
That's what's asking, have you actually played it?
Yes, I've actually played the game. I can truly say that now. I've actually played the game.
So 4 years later, yeah, I played it.
Exactly, but I played it. It's a little too intense for me.
Oh, it's actually the first game that I have ever played, like as far as like PS2 or PS3 goes, it was the first one.
A lot of women play this game. We have a really large female following for this game.
Yeah.
In fact, today, our first fan was a female.
Awesome. See, I think, yeah, we all have a lot of stuff to work out, and I think, right, this is the perfect one to do it. But then we could just say that they're all, you know, playing just to hear your lovely, sexy voice.
Oh, well, thank you, babe.
You're welcome. See, my new best friend, y'all. And so everybody else also knows you from Star Wars Clone Wars, and which you are the voice of Windu, correct?
Yes.
And so that's been going on for a while now.
A couple of years, yeah.
How's that working out for you?
I love it.
Yeah?
Great people to work with. The director's great. Just have a really good time.
Sweet. Back to, what is it, In Conflict with Kismet. So was there a lot of research that you had to do for the role? What was your really attack going into it?
It wasn't a lot of research. It was really about connecting with the moment of loss for him. Knowing that he experienced this moment in his life with someone he really, really cared about, and basically they were taken out of his life, and now he's back in their face again, and how does that make him feel? What is that about? What kind of emotions pull up inside of you when you see this woman again? You know, because he was still very much in love with her. Very, very much in love with her. And that's hard, you know, anytime you break up with somebody and it wasn't your choice, you know, and you see them again, it's kind of like...
There's certainly a lot of pining that comes down with that.
We've all had that moment, so...
We have. We choose not to talk about it or think about it anymore.
Well, that's what actors do. We pull up that uncomfortable crap.
Exactly. That's why you guys are so much better than me. I'm a good liar, but a horrible actor.
Never better than you, baby. Never better than you.
See, I need to put you in my pocket and take you home.
Oh,
and just pull you out to give compliments.
Oh, wait a minute now. Watch it.
So, are there any current projects that you're working on right now? Other than, obviously, you're very busy. Doing, you know, every time I turn on the TV, I seem to hear your voice somewhere. So.
Doing a lot of pre-work for the God of War release. There's going to be some commercials coming out and some television stuff coming out. So we've been doing a lot of prep
for
that.
That's right. The God of War 3 comes out this week or next month?
No,
next month.
I think it's the 16th or the 19th.
Oh, okay. Cool.
I get those numbers mixed up sometimes.
Same difference. Yeah, there you go. So we'll be sure to be on the lookout for that. And if our listeners want to look you up and get in contact with you, how would they do that?
tccarson.com.
Awesome. Thank you so much for your time.
Thank you.
You're welcome. And moving back over to Danny. So, Miss Danny, In Conflict with Kismet. And again, everybody can catch it on BET.com. And you're also up for an award with BET, correct?
Yeah, they have the Lens on Talent contest. It's actually a contest where the winner gets $100,000 to make their next short. And that short...
Which I'm going to be in.
Yes. And that will premiere on next season's Lens on Talent.
Oh, awesome. That is so great. I am just, again, I'm so excited for you. And congratulations
on
all your...
your marvelous, wonderful success.
Thank you.
So everybody head over to BET.com and check out In Conflict with Kismet, written and directed by Danny Dixon and starring T.C. Cart.
Oh, the voting, and voting may still be going on.
Oh, wait, hey, you can vote on this. Hey, you guys, go over there right now, BET.com, In Conflict with Kismet.
Yeah, and you go to Limp on Talent, the homepage, and you can vote. We have a good lead happening
okay,
right now.
But hey,
every vote counts.
Absolutely.
So yeah.
Definitely. Especially when it comes down to careers and $100,000, every vote counts.
Yes, exactly.
So take the 30 seconds to log on and click for the vote.
Yeah.
Again, thank you guys so much for taking the time to speak to us at ForbiddenBattle.com. This is Brandy signing off.
And we're back, and I hope you enjoyed the interview. We're going to go ahead and take a break, and when we come back, Brian's going to regale us with some news that's on the front. So, yeah, be right back.
Hi, I'm a chick, and I read comic books and play video games. And yes, I am attractive. And whenever I need new information, I head over to Forbidden Panel and look for new geeks to seduce. And I'm sorry.
And we're back, and we have two visitors, Craig and Janelle, both who have their own column on our website. How are you guys doing?
Doing good.
Hi, yay!
So you guys come up for the release party, so that's kind of cool. Have you guys been reading or anything lately?
Not lately, no.
Yeah.
Only homework.
What was the last thing you guys read? It's been since April since you posted last year, so I'm guessing you may have to reach back in the memory machine.
Yeah, I don't remember the last thing I read.
No.
Didn't read anything from the comic book club?
Not yet. I want to. I will before Sunday.
See, there you go.
I will be.
Actually, Monday.
Oh, it's Monday?
Monday's here.
Okay.
So there.
Yes,
right?
Me
Chris, come say hi.
Hi.
Chris, what comic books have come out this week?
Too many things.
Chris is afraid of the mic. Can you tell? Chris is the purveyor here at Four Color Fantasies, where we're hosting the show as well as the CKS release party. So, yay. Brian had some news bits he wanted to talk about, so I'm going to hand it over to Brian.
All right, there we go. Go ahead.
Hey, everybody. Welcome back. Yeah, we left off that last segment because we were, as I was handing the mic over to Brian, well, we got tackled by a whole bunch of fans and stuff, so we couldn't actually give you news bits. But let me update you on what's happened. It's actually 3 days after the ZKS release party. I know, right? We're supposed to, like, you know, do the whole show there, and we just got, like, distracted and stuff, so...
Blindsided by people. It got crazy, but it was good crazy.
Yeah, it was definitely good crazy. We ended up moving... Because there were 35 issues of our comic book, which is, to me, phenomenal. And Brian smiled and talked to people all day, so that, too, was phenomenal and amazing in itself, so...
Yeah, it was just an all-around miraculous day.
It was like, you know, the Mother Mary came down and blessed us all. So, yeah, that's the update. We moved 35 issues that day. And out of our 100 comic books that we initially ordered out of the first printing, we have 10 left. Actually, we're pretty much officially sold out. The remaining we have will be available at, like, special cons and stuff. But we're actually going to get ready to put in for a second printing of the comic book. So, thank you everybody that came out that day. I mean, it was just amazing how awesome it was to see all of our friends and stuff show up.
Yeah, it was really, it's definitely one of the best days of my life. I mean, the turnout that we had was so much more than I expected. It was really, it made me feel good about what we're doing. You know, I really felt like we're doing something that people are interested in.
Even for lack of responses on the website,
Yeah, I was worried for a second. But
yeah, but you know, people came out, and that was good. You know, it showed that people are actually following what we're doing, and that's it makes it all worthwhile. I don't really care about how much money, you know, came in or whatever. It's, you know, the response is really what I'm after.
Right. And we had a really great response, not just with the show up, but everybody, I mean, they sat there. That was kind of uncomfortable for me, was when they bought the issues. First off, I've never signed anything that wasn't a legal document of some sort, ever, you know, and these people wanted our autographs, wanted us to sign the comics, so that was kind of weird. You know, how about you?
Yeah, definitely, especially the one gentleman that showed up that was like, oh, I didn't know you guys were signing today. I've already bought the comic, but, you know, I'll buy another one so you could sign it.
Right, yeah, that one was a trip. Like, we had a few people like that that were either had already picked up the book or knew we were coming out that day and were expecting us to be there that we didn't know. You know, people we knew, I expected to show up.
Yeah.
People we didn't know were all excited about it and stuff. And we moved, like I said, we moved 35 issues, which is pretty good. Chris says that, who's the owner of Four Color Fantasy, says he orders 35 issues of Amazing Spider-Man for the week, you know, just to cover the week. And we sold that much in one day. So, you know, kind of officially, Ryan, you, me, and Justin, we were the best-selling comic book of that day. That's kind of cool, you know, when you think about it. But, so, yeah, that was weird, but it was also just the show-up, I guess, the amount of people that showed up, the responses we got. People, yeah, the uncomfortable part, that's what I was leading to, was that people would buy the comic and then read it right then and there.
Yeah.
And then as soon as they were done reading, they were like, wow, this is awesome, this is great. And the entire 10 seconds that it takes to read the comic, I'm like, don't notice the spelling mistakes. You know? Oh,
the
God, they're going to hate their book. Oh, shit. You know, but no, we had great responses. We've already gotten emails in from some of the people that picked up the book, letting us know what they thought about it, and that it's all been positive so far, and I'm pretty amped about it.
Oh, yeah, definitely. I mean, just the fact of sitting there and holding something in your hand with your name on it, I mean, that was amazing enough. But then to have all the people, like, show up and have, you know, people like what we're doing, even if it was on, you know, a small scale like this, I mean, it wasn't like we had hundreds of people at con or something, but
right.
I don't think anything that we do is going to match this, because it just showed us that we're doing something right. We, you know, I guess it was kind of like our defining moment.
Yeah.
You know, this was going to decide, like,
yeah, this was the make it or break it day.
Yeah.
Yeah, this was the make it or break it day, where, like, now we know, okay, well, fuck. Where's the next issue?
Yeah. Now, I mean, we're just, like, amped up to just do more, and now it's like, yeah, fuck yeah, let's do it.
Right.
So, I mean, a couple times, like, throughout the whole process of getting this first issue out, you know, we've had points where we're just like, man, should we even continue going? I mean, we don't, you know, it's, things are taking so long, and it's just so much.
And that's not a gig on Justin at all. You know,
no,
not a gig at all.
I'm just talking about, because all of us were, you know, getting good points where it's like, you know, deal with this right now. I've got other stuff to do. But, you know, we stuck with it and got it done. And then just, I mean, the final result of that was something. I mean, you can't really anticipate what that's going to be like until you have it done. And then you're like, you know, we did this. We made this.
Right. I think one of the coolest things I saw that day was, amongst all the other stuff, was we had a raffle for all the stuff that we were having out, that we had out there. We had 11 by 17 covers of posters of the cover that Ryan did for the Zero issue, and like three other pieces that Justin had done just for the release party and stuff. And we didn't get a lot of people entering the raffle because it was kind of like high, $5, you know, and you won everything. One of each, everything signed by us and everything. And well, one guy, he's like sat there, he bought all the posters already, forked out the extra $5 of the raffle, and he's like, oh no, I'm gonna win, and like sat on the side waiting for the raffle to get done, you know, like,
yeah.
And he was very excited, and I told him, you know, if you hang it on the wall, send us a picture, we'll post it on the website. And it goes the same for anybody else. If you bought one of our comics or any of the posters or anything, you hang it on your wall, send us a picture, we'll put it up on the site. And you may even get a little some freebies in the mail if you did that for us. But yeah, it was pretty good response, you know. Now we're just all gung-ho for the next book. Like, Brian and I have already started cracking on the script. Like, I wrote the story a while ago, but now we're breaking down the script, and we have ideas of what we're going to do with the imagery and everything. And, yeah, we're just ready to go.
Yeah, I mean, now we kind of have a foothold on what it is that we're doing. And so I mean, we still have a lot of learning to do in the whole process, but,
right.
I mean, we've got it done once, we know we can do it, and so now it's just a matter of getting it done.
Right. People like it.
Yeah, that's the best part.
That's the creepy part. Like, people like it. Like, I'm still torn with between the whole, you know, writer-artist fanfare thing.
Mm-hmm.
A lot of people love the imagery and everything, but I gotta remember, like, you know, I wrote the story, and it's not just what you read in the dialogue, but it's what you read in the back image too, like the image layouts and stuff. You and I collaborated on that,
yeah.
In the scripting of it. So everything that's in there is something that I created as well. So, you know, I got to take my hidden compliments where I can get them. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
So, and some people have told me that the writing was great, and that makes me happy. And the art was just phenomenal. I think Justin did a banger job on the art.
Oh yeah.
You know, and with the layouts and everything we did, it's just, I don't know, it's just awesome.
Yeah, definitely. Finding Justin was a stroke of luck
right,
for us.
Right.
I mean, it's worked out perfect.
Right.
I mean,
the only thing that was missing from that day is Ryan. It would have been nice if Ryan could have made it up
right,
that day.
Right.
Now, Ryan, if you're listening, man, you were sorely missed that day. It was an awesome day, and everyone loved your covers. We wish you were there, because they were all asking about you. So you'll see when you come out for San Diego.
Well, and the poster size, too. I mean, people were really digging on that.
Yeah, yeah. So you'll see when you come out to San Diego, man. You've got a lot of new friends you don't even know about yet. So, there you go. I think we've done enough doting on the ZKS subject for now. We're going to go ahead and take a break. And when we come back, Brian will come back with the real news that we've been missing all week. So be right back, guys.
Forbidden Panel is currently looking for artists. If you or someone you know would like to join us, please visit www.forbiddenpanel.com.
All right, and we're back, and we're going to start doing some news stories here, so I guess I'll just go ahead and get into it. First story that we got here is a Superman comic that was a 1938 edition of Action Comics number 1, which is the first appearance of Superman, recently sold for $1 million, which is, I think that's... According to the article, anyways, it broke the record for the most money paid for a single comic book.
That's nutty. That's like Unbreakable movie nutty. You know, like anybody's gonna pay $1 million for a comic. Hopefully, in 100 years, ours will be worth that much.
One can only hope.
Cause I'll sell it. God damn it.
In 100 years.
In 100 years, I'll be here.
Yeah. Well, I plan on living forever, so that should work out for us.
There you go. One of us will make that money.
And another story here. It's I don't really know how I feel about this one. Story that San Diego Comic-Con may be finding a new home. I'm guessing that it's just become so huge that it's starting to sort of overflow the convention center that they hold it at.
Well, I knew that they were doing the expansion, that they got approved for the bid for the expansion, but I didn't know they were going to have to move.
Well, it looks like they're not really sure on how it's going to go. They're supposed to be doing an expansion for it, but I guess their agreement that they have with the city right now ends in 2012. They're looking to extend it into about 2015, but if the numbers keep growing the way that they are projecting it will, then the convention center, even with the expansion, is just not going to be able to hold it, so they're kind of shopping around to look and see what other places that they can hold it at. The article says that what they may end up doing is just expanding it into some of the waterfront hotels that are in that same area, so it may actually be split up.
Well, they did that last year, we noticed, where we had to go to different hotels to partake in some of the stuff going on. Like with the video games, we had to go to that other hotel across the way in Horton Plaza. And I know that they were holding some of the indie stuff in the Masquerade Ball. Well, not the Masquerade Ball, but something else at the Hyatt that's attached to it, the Marriott that's attached to it. So, I mean, that would seem like the most logical choice, which is, I mean, San Diego, I think, is going to shoot themselves in the foot at this point. Because if they get bigger, nobody's going to want to go. Because it's already a madness as it is going down there. So it's going to end up they're going to overextend themselves. Nobody's going to end up going. And it's just going to go back to the way it was before. And all these little cons, like Long Beach and all that, they're going to start picking up all the traffic, and people are going to want to go there instead. because comic book people, we still want to see the comics, and that's what San Diego is losing at, in that it's mostly, it stopped being all about comics and now about movies and films and entertainment and video games and stuff like that, which I don't mind, but I still want to read comics, you know?
Right, and it seems like the movie industry especially is taking over Comic-Con to the point of being ridiculous almost.
Oh, definitely. It's, I mean, it's getting almost annoying where the little guy just can't break even out there. There's no chance for him. Before, it used to be a place where, like, you know, little indie writers like ourselves could go and mingle with the big-time writers in hope of either getting some recognition or at least getting doing a meet-and-greet. You know, use it as a learning experience while also getting to geek out on some stuff that you may not be able to pick up anywhere else. But now it's just this big entertainment industry orgy, basically, that it's just hard to... You can't even walk around in that place, much less enjoy anything that's going on. You know, I still have to check the Twitter and the updates while we're there to see what we're missing. You know, we may be in the midst of something great and something awesome going on somewhere else, and we just can't make it. So it's too much in one place, I think.
Yeah, it's starting to get a little madness, especially with some of the little promotion and things that like some of the movie companies do, where it packs one area so badly you can't even get through.
Right.
And you know, it's getting to the point where, I mean, I don't really care for crowds as it is. It's getting really uncomfortable doing that, but...
I mean, both of us feel the same way. I mean, we're latching onto each other like a little Hansel and Gretel fucking walking through the woods and stuff, you know? It's pretty bad, but I think last year we lucked out because we made it to a lot of good stuff going on and a lot of freebies at the right time. Like, we walked away with a good 5 or 6 shirts.
We did pretty well that time, and I think we kind of try to keep track of the schedule a little to see when certain like celebrities are going to be in certain areas or things like that, so we could try to avoid
those. We lucked out on that alone time with Max Brooks. I mean, we had to talk to him for a good long while. My dumbass forgot to bring out the recorder, but we still got to sit down and talk to him. You know, we lucked out.
Yeah, and like I've said before, he's a pretty cool guy.
Right.
You know, he likes to make his little snarky comments, but I mean, he's actually a really nice guy.
Right, and that's what's sad is that somebody like Max Brooks, I mean, he, other than George Romero, I think Max Brooks has done more for the zombie genre than anybody else out there. Like I said, other than George Romero, and nobody cared that he was there. They were more worried about the cast of Chuck, you know, or the cast of G4, you know, Olivia Munn walking around. Not that I'm not stalking her either, but I'm saying, like, that's where the difference is in what Comic-Con used to be and what it is now. Whereas before, guys like Max Brooks and stuff would be able to talk to him and get autographs and whatever, but now he's being looked over for something that isn't really related to comic books anymore.
Yeah, it's unfortunate, but there you go. What do we got next? Apparently, the lead singer of Alice in Chains is now getting into the comic book thing. And,
the lead singer?
I think so. I haven't really kept up with that band in a while. William Duvall?
Yeah, the new one.
But the article is like a little interview with him. He's talking about how he is a really big comic book fan and is now going to be jumping into the comic book thing, so I doesn't really say anything at all about the actual comic itself, which this article kind of sucks ass, but I think it's because it's a music, it's like a music,
music
site,
site.
Yeah.
Comic site. Yeah. Well, that just shows you if the comics geek news people aren't jumping on this on it, it's not really worth reporting into yet, so we'll see what happens there, but I mean, that just goes, we'll have to wait. I mean, you don't want to get gigged on like you did with Barry Grant again. You know, so it may turn out to be a good comic or not, but we'll see. He's a new lead singer. The old lead singer, Lane Staley, passed away of an overdose. And you know, their new album just came out this year. So he may be using this opportunity to milk the fact that, you know, he's a comic book fan and to put out his own stuff. You know, using his fame to promote his comic and stuff, like with Gene Simmons' kid, Nick Simmons. You know, so hopefully it won't be as bad as that comic book, but we'll see.
Yeah, we'll see. And just for the record, I didn't say anything disparaging about Barry Grant.
She called you out on that one. That was awesome.
No. You called me out.
No, I believe it was her that says, "You got something you want to say to me, Brian?"
That was her. But you're the one that started saying that I had problems with celebrities getting into comics. And I don't have a problem with celebrities getting into comics.
I was just making it interesting, that's all. Speaking of which, real quick, I do have a quick news bit I want to add to your stuff going on. Bria and Zane Grant, their book is out right now. It's called We Will Bury You. They are having a release party in New York. I have it posted on the website, so if you're in the New York area, it's on the February 26th. You should definitely go check it out and support them and tell them who we sent you. Because, all of a sudden, you guys, we got to stick together somehow.
Okay, and let's see. Another
Dan, if you're listening, send me the preview copy.
Yes, preview copies all around.
There you go.
And another little story here, another one that I picked because it's one of those stories that I like because it illustrates how comics are really starting to come into the fold. And the Los Angeles Times has decided to add a graphic novel category to their book prizes.
Nice.
So for the 2009 book prizes, they actually went in and added a graphic novel category. So seeing something like this, I know the Los Angeles Times is not as notable as the New York Times Book Review is, but I mean, it's out here, especially on the East Coast.
West Coast.
Whatever fucking coast this is.
Brian's already East Coast minded. He's moving out there in a few weeks, so he's already a citizen out there.
Yeah, I'm right. Switching coasts here, so I've already set my clocks 3 hours ahead.
There you go.
No, but it makes me happy to see stories like this where we've got, the comic books are starting to get recognized as legitimate, not only as a legitimate art form, but as a legitimate form of literature.
Right.
And some people might want to argue with me on that, but I'm sorry. As far as I'm concerned, comic books are literature.
And if you don't believe that fact, if you have a problem accepting that fact, look at how many authors, big-name authors out there, are creating comic books right now. I mean, we've got King's Son, Hill.
Yeah, Joe Hill is
Joe
doing,
Hill's doing it.
Orson Scott Card.
Straczynski, who, mm-hmm. Wrote Babylon 5, that series. There's a lot of people out there that are writing for the comic book industry right now, so you can't use that argument anymore. You fail. Clive Barker, man, his graphic novels are pretty sick.
And a new segment would not be complete.
Here we go.
Without me talking about Blue Water.
We need to get a sound bite for every time. Like somebody drowning or some shit. That needs to be your sound bite.
Yeah, we'll set something up. Yeah, Blue Water, further showing that they really don't care about comics at all and just care about making as much money as they can, are releasing, and they apparently had this series called Fame, where they write comics of some sort about famous people, but not really like famous people, like crappy famous people.
Like the guy that saved my dog in the burning house fire kind of famous people?
More like Robert Sparkly Vampire Pattinson famous people.
Oh, he's big time with the preteens.
Yeah, I don't care. they're not a demographic that counts. I'm sorry.
They're unintelligible demographic.
They're just dollars. That's all they are. They're not... So yeah, they've got themselves they're releasing a Robert Pattinson comic, and that is basically
why because he had two movies that were very popular based on a preteen book series. I mean
basically sense. I mean
because he looks good in Blur.
He's just like the whatever. I mean, I wouldn't even say he's necessarily a hot item. I mean, he had two fairly successful movies, but. So what? I mean, it doesn't say anything about his career. He doesn't really have much of a career to speak of.
Right. Nobody goes to see anything that he's done otherwise, unless it's a Twilight movie.
So, yeah. Blue Water, yeah. Keep up the good work, guys. I think that's about all I've got for the news, so I'm going to go ahead and close this out.
Hi, this is Brandi Offset of BrandiOffset.com, and every week I listen to Forbidden Panel's Panelcast because AJ and Brian are the coolest dudes that I know, and because I like to hear my advertisement in between the panel casts.
And we're back. In this segment, we're going to probably close it all out, but I didn't want to close anything up without saying, talking about some of the movies that I got to see this week. And from the last time we recorded 3 days ago till now, I've actually read some comics, and I kind of want to go over that, too. I don't suppose you've read anything in the meantime, Brian?
I have not.
Because you fail. You did do a good job tonight on Munchkin, though, at game night. We play a game called Munchkin, and Brian, who normally is stuck at level one.
As far as I'm concerned, I won the game.
He won the game. I will go on record to the thousands of people that listen to the show, or the one person that listens to it 1,000 times, which is probably me, or Ryan. Brian won tonight's game of Munchkin. It was his farewell performance. He actually won level 20. Good job, Brian. Go suck at the goat stick. But yeah, so we get pretty good. But yeah, some of the comics I've read, I've caught up on all my Sieges. Siege is turning out to be, you know, I don't know if I said I was for it or against it. I think I've swapped sides enough times now. But we're a good chunk into it, and I got to give it up. Siege is awesome. Marvel Comics is putting out a crossover event comic series called Siege, which I've gone over before, but I'll touch base on it right now real quick. Siege is basically from the last crossover event that there was called Dark Reign, when Norman Osborn took over the country basically and is running his own little band of bad guy version of Avengers that are government sanctioned. He has now decided to attack Asgard, who is floating like 3 feet above Montana airspace or something like that. First, I thought it was just going to be like some little, you know, bullshit stuff going on, some little publicity stuff that they were going to try and use to carry over the year, but, you know, I bite my tongue, man. It's turning out to be pretty awesome and pretty impressive, too, all the stuff that's going on. Man, I don't, well, you know what, I'm giving it away. In this, the last issue I read, as many of you know, may know, Ares the God of War has been on the new Avengers team for the past year and a half, 2 years, doing an awesome job, bang-up job. Well, he realized that Norman Osborn finally lied to him. He went to go confront Osborn. Sentry showed up and literally ripped him in half. Like, he ripped the God of War in half. Blood, guts, the whole nine. It was fucking phenomenal, and I have to give it up for Marvel. They're doing a bang-up job there. Other things I wanted to mention, want to give our congratulations to Jeff Johns and Jim Lee for becoming the new creative directors over at DC. They are now not only in charge of all the comic book storylines, but any movie, video, MP3, any of that stuff that comes out based on any DC characters. So they are now running that whole deal. So congratulations on that department. I went and saw Percy Jackson and the Olympians, The Lightning Thief, which my son and I went to go check it out. We can't say Percy Jackson without saying, Percy Jackson! Just like that. Whenever you say it, that's what you gotta think. It was a cute little movie. Basically, it's based on a book series that was put out by Dan Dior, I believe his name is. Brian, while I'm talking, you could be looking it up on your little laptop there. Hint, hint, nudge, nudge. But it's basically, it's a mythological take on the Harry Potter series. Where Harry Potter focuses on magic and such. Percy Jackson focuses more on the Greek mythological creatures and their interactions. So you're dealing with demigods, which is the children of the main Olympus gods, such as Zeus and Poseidon and Ares and Athena and so on and so forth. I took my son to go see it because it was a PG-13 movie. We thought it would be all right. And it turns out it was not bad at all. Not bad at all. They did a good job in, you know, just everything they did. It's kind of hard to see another kids movie coming out that we're supposed to get behind, like we did with the Harry Potter series. It didn't seem to have a big following, but they did a good job in following the mythos. The only problem I had was that it was very Clash of the Titans. It was like Clash of the Titans for children. And to put out this movie so close to when the remake of Clash of the Titans is coming out, I think is going to bother some people. But at the same time, it may be like, well, the kids can go see this version, and we'll go see the adult version, you know. So it may work out for them in that manner. So if you have some kids who are all into that stuff, then go take it. What's the book series based on?
Rick Riordan.
Rick Riordan. That was close. I replaced the R with a D. Anyway, so yeah, I now want to read the book series just to see compare and contrast at this point. Which I may end up doing or have my kid do and have him report into me. That's what kids are for, to do the work for you. The other movie I watched was Edge of Darkness, which was the Mel Gibson movie. And Brian, what's your name for it?
Ransom Part 2.
Ransom Part 2. This movie is basically about how Mel Gibson's daughter is shot in front of him on their doorstep, and him being a cop decides to take matters in his own hand and go find out who killed him. The movie has its ups and downs. It's a very Mel Gibson movie. I was happy to realize the fact that Mel Gibson's hair is thinning. So, as petty as that may be, it's still nice to know that I'm not the only one that that's happening to. It was pretty good. I mean, it had some great actors in it. Mel Gibson did a good part. The ending was very hard-hitting and very badass, and I have to give it up for him on that part. It's not a movie I'd probably see again. It just had a lot of slow parts and a lot of parts that were just unbelievable. But at the same time, a father's revenge, you know, who knows where they could take him. So I did enjoy that fact. And I enjoyed it for that reason. That's pretty much it for any of the movies I've seen. I'm about 19 issues into Fables right now, and I'm loving it. Issue 18, The Last Castle, I believe it's called. If you have not read that, if you have not read any Fables, pick up that book. That's that issue in particular. I believe it's an independent story of the comic series, and read it. If that doesn't pull you into Fables, then nothing will. Because that story is just severely fucked up. It's, I don't want to give too much away. Just pick it up. It's Fables. I forget who it's done by, but it's an awesome series. So yeah, there you have it. Having said that, I'm going to hand the mic over to Brian and let him do our little outro. We want to thank everybody for tuning in and thank everybody for showing up to the CKS release party, Brian.
I want to thank everybody for listening to our 50th episode of the Panelcast. Another milestone right there.
I know. Just keep knocking them down, baby. Just keep knocking them down now.
50 episodes, a new comic. We've got things going. I want
5,000 hits on the website last month.
Yeah, we have to thank everybody for making this possible for us. And it just... I don't have words enough to really express how glad I am that, I mean, we have the reception that we do, and then we have people who keep coming, listening to the podcast, and are reading the comic. It's just a fantastic feeling. So I want to thank everybody, and I want to ask you all to please send in emails. You can send in info@forbiddenpanel.com.
ZKS@forbiddenpanel.com.
Or if you want to contact us personally, you can AJ@forbiddenpanel.com or Brian@forbiddenpanel.com.
The Y.
Yes, don't forget the Y. And I would also like to ask you to go ahead and visit our sponsors and our cohorts in the comic book world. Of course, you know, it's fourcolorfantasies.com. HightowerComics.com,
Necrosapien.net, BrandyAusset.com, ReedCounter.com. Check out some of our affiliate stores. You got SplitReason.com. They have some awesome t-shirts there. And also, if you get a chance, click on the Amazon link on our website. We need the money. So.
Yeah, definitely click on our Amazon links. We've got it up there now, so all of the comics that we're reviewing, we'll put them up there, so you can just, you know, if you like our review or the comic sounds interesting, just click on the link, buy the comic, you know, support us, support the authors and the artists. And I think that's about going to wrap up this 50th episode of ours.
I do think so, too. I want to thank Justin for being able to join us on the show, even though it was to his own benefit because he was at the release party. But hopefully you won't hear from him much anymore because he'll be busy cracking out the next issue. We love you, Justin. And that's all I really have to say. You guys are awesome, and thank you again.
Yeah, thank you.
Panelcast is brought to you by Forbidden Panel. Please visit us at www.forbiddenpanel.com.